in. Welcome, Nevada Shooters. You're listening to Armed Nevada Radio on KNews 107.3 FM. Good afternoon. Thank God the smoke's gone. Thank God. Is it a beautiful day or what?
It is a beautiful day. Yesterday was gorgeous.
I'm so glad. I don't do smoke.
And I'm glad this week is over.
Yeah, it's you and I were just discussing mic before we started what kind of a week we've had in my entire week. And I know you're stressed.
Kid troubles, school troubles, job troubles. I mean, it's just
troubles,
car troubles.
Yeah. And my truck's leaking oil now. I don't want to hear any Ford versus Chevy jokes, so can that. You know, it happens.
Well,
oil. I think it's an oil pan gasket is what it is.
Yeah.
It's 69,000 miles. Of course it's going to leak a little bit.
Well, and here in the desert, gaskets don't seem to last very long.
No, they don't. You know, my entire week manifested itself in all its ugly negativity this morning. You know how, first of all, nothing went right this morning.
Yeah.
Nothing. I hit every red light. I drove behind every single driver that refused to pull his head out of his backside before I got up in the morning. I go to drop Sophie off at daycare. The friggin' parking lot is closed because they're striping it.
Of course.
So I can't pull in there. I go to pick Olivia up from her mom to take her to school, and they're running 10 minutes late. So I'm like rushing to get everywhere. And, you know, that F-250 it's not a rocket ship. It's not like your caddy.
Right.
I can't stomp on it and go fast. And I'm just, I'm just out of my head this morning.
Speaking of the caddy, I got to go to the transmission shop next week.
Somebody made a good suggestion on Facebook about what you should do with that car.
Set it on fire in front of the dealership?
No. No. Just tell the bank, come get it.
I don't want a repo on my credit. Come on, now.
No, they're not. Apparently, you know what? If the dealer refuses to work with you, I would love to call a dealer out because I can't stand people that do that. You know, when dealers act that way, I told one dealer when I was on the job one time, I handled a civil matter between a guy and a dealership in Carson.
Yeah.
And this dealer was clearly defrauding this guy. And I may have been a little out of line, but this guy was really getting hosed. I mean, this poor guy.
Yeah.
And I told the dealer, I said, listen, I go, my suggestion is you really need to make this right for this guy because you're on the wrong side of it. I said, unless you want the attorney general's office showing up here, crawling up your backside with a flashlight and a friggin' search warrant.
Yeah.
I go, you need to make this right.
Did he make it right?
Apparently he did. Well, never heard back, so.
I don't know. We'll see. There's one more step in this process before I go attorney general, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's just an ugly process. It really is.
Well, this whole thing has been ugly.
Get a truck.
I'm a fast car guy.
Get a fast truck. my other truck, my F-150, remember my red one?
Yeah.
That thing flew.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always been a fast car guy rather than a truck guy.
I've never driven cars. Well, I had a car when I was a kid, but I've always driven trucks. I just like being the biggest thing on the road.
I've always had cars that I hot rodded.
No, not me. I've never been a hot rod.
It's
guy.
A sickness. What are we talking about today?
We got some cool stuff to talk about. Apparently, there's an elementary school. Let me pull this up here. Where's that? It says. Let me pull up the headline. Just like last week, every time you want your headline to come up,
it never works when we're on the air.
Elementary school teaching children to throw books at classroom gunmen during an active shooter situation.
I posted this on the Armed Nevada Radio page.
This is what you pulled up. I cannot think of worse advice.
Well, what a solid plan of cowardice and from a position of fear.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it says here, it starts off that a father is outraged after learning that an active shooter protocol at his children's school, Stevenson Elementary in Heath, Ohio, includes encouraging his 8-year-old son to throw books. Somebody's calling me? This is radio, folks. Decline with a message. Can't talk. Text me. All right. There we go. Send. All right. Well, apparently, they're teaching these kids to throw books at the gunman, and his father's furious.
That's a stupid plan.
It's a horrible plan.
It's going to get kids killed. Actually, this is good discussion. What have you told your kids to do if there's an active shooter?
Flee or hide. Barricade yourself in the room. If the teacher, every school has an active shooter protocol.
Right.
Not this one, thank God. But every school has an active shooter protocol, and it usually includes barricading the kids in the classroom at the sound of gunfire.
Right.
Because you don't want to flee out of the classroom and all of a sudden there's a guy waiting
in the hallway, or
a second gunman waiting in the in the playground somewhere. So they tell the kids to hide in place and then barricade. I know the Jesse Beck Elementary. I'm gonna call them out. They got a great active shooter protocol.
Yeah,
and I was part of that developing that protocol, so it was pretty cool. They have a great active shooter protocol at that school, and they barricade and they hide. Throw books. What do you get? These kids are going to step out in the hallway with an active shooter and throw books at them?
Well, and the other thing I've told my children. Well, so one of my kids goes to public school. The other one does an online charter school at home. The one that goes to public school, I've told her, you know, follow the directions of your teacher because I think there's shelter in place. I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
But I've also told her, take your two or three fattest textbooks, put them in your backpack, and flip that backpack around to the front.
Yeah. That's good advice. There's actually a company that markets, you know, it's outrageous that we've even come to this. There's a company that markets backpacks with ballistic panels in them.
Yeah, and I just noticed.
Now, that's good for handguns, but how many school shootings have occurred with handguns?
I'm not going to mention it. Well, despite the media propaganda, Sandy Hook was all handgun in the end, wasn't it?
I don't know.
But it ended up being Glock instead of the AR-15.
No, it was the shotgun
I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was the shotgun he left in the car.
But, so what, we've looked at, there's a company, I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to give them free airplay on our show, but there's a body armor company that makes a backpack insert.
But it's handgun rated though, right?
I think so. I think it's level 3.
That's great if the active shooter has a handgun, but if an active shooter has a rifle, I don't care how many Kevlar panels you put in that backpack, it's not going to stop them.
We should have a show dedicated to body armor. We could talk about body armor.
Oh, we could. You and I both have body armor.
Yeah. I think every gun owner should invest in body armor.
You have plates for your plate carrier?
I got plates, and then I run the soft armor for that, you know, my black vest I wear on the range usually.
Yep. I've got the same thing. I have a soft Kevlar 3A vest I wear on the range when I'm teaching. And then, I have a plate carrier with AR-500 steel plates in it. Which is only rifle rated, but
personally, I think it makes sense to have it. I keep one of them in my car all the time, and usually it's the plates because I don't have to worry about heat and cold.
Right.
If something happens, I don't know. The likelihood of needing it is probably pretty low. But the other thing is, like, against probably my better judgment, I do sell some stuff on Craigslist every once in a while.
Right.
When I go meet someone, I'll strap up, strap on my body armor and throw a sweatshirt over it.
They're very concealable. It's a good thing to have. Downside is they're pricey. I mean, there's no such thing as inexpensive body armor. Buy used stuff.
Plates are cheap. Cheaper.
Well,
you can buy AR-500 steel plates that are coated for, what, $110 here locally?
Oh,
each?
Yeah, you can.
I mean, that's relatively cheap. And if you're not a serious trainer or serious training guru or somebody that's down in the dirt all the time, a Condor plate carrier set you back $60-$70.
You don't need a Cry Precision $300 plate carrier.
I want one though.
I do want one. Speaking of Cry Precision, I don't know if you noticed, but I am sporting my new Cry Precision khaki G3 combat pants today.
I was gonna mention
I'm loving these things. Yeah, these are my new these are my new Gray Man. To Gray Man pants.
Well, you know what? My favorite pair of pants that I bought is my 5'11 Strike.
I thought you were going to say the ones that look like leather chaps.
No, we're not going to talk about those on the show. 5'11 Strike pants are the greatest. They're expensive. They're like $85.
Yeah.
But they stretch just enough to where, I mean, you can get down and move. And, oh, man, they are fantastic.
I love, we don't turn this into a fashion show, but I love a good pair of tactical pants. I really do.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a gear whore.
I am a gear whore. I'm all about the gear. I really am. It's, you know, the more gear, you can't have enough gear.
But you know what? The reason why I like the Strike pants is they don't look like oversized cargo pants.
Right.
I can wear them on a ride along, or I can wear them to church you know, work in security.
Sure.
And they work for both venues. They don't look out of place.
Yep.
You know what? I can even wear them to my kids' school and nobody gives me a second look.
They're low profile enough that you can do that. Yep. And they're super functional. They're great for the range. Do they have the inside magazine pockets?
Yeah, they do. For the AR. Yeah.
Yep. They've got the interior mag pockets to throw a couple mags in there. Yeah, I love them. I don't have a set. I've got, I've since outgrown my other 511s.
You'll get back there.
I'm hoping. I'm down 11 pounds.
I'm down 12.
Well, I'm hating you this morning, only not because you've bettered me by a pound, but because I can't eat this stuff. What did we do first thing this morning? Drag me in a super burrito next door
here.
I was
hungry.
That food is evil.
But I can't do a show on an empty stomach. I'll be crabby and
I'm doing one on an empty stomach. I'm dying right now.
Good thing we don't have a guest on the show.
I got my skinny latte and my banana this morning.
Ew.
Oh, and as late as I'm running, no matter where I went today, everything went wrong, right? Every obstacle. I go into Starbucks. I'm already running late. I'm like, I'm going to rush in here. I'm going to get a quick grande coffee, and I'm out.
Those are the days where there's a huge line.
Well, I'm number three in line. Fortunately, two guys ahead of me, all they want is a black coffee. I go to wait for my coffee. The guy standing in front of me waiting for his is waiting for, wait for it, four carry-out containers of whatever he's getting, his mocha choca BS lattes he's buying for half the office for his entire law firm. And I'm like, oh, crap. Are you kidding me? He finally grabs his stuff. He's like, and I'm not about to help him. I'm sorry. I probably should have. That would have been a nice thing to do, but not about to help him. He grabs his four things of coffee, and I'm just praying. You know what? Just drop one just because you made me late.
Oh,
give me something to smile about.
Dang, you were spiteful this morning.
I was. And I look at the barista. I go, answer me a question. Why is it every time I'm running late, I go, I get behind that guy?
That's how it always works.
Never fails. Oh, yesterday?
Yes.
Discovery Channel camera crew was out at my house.
Oh, boy.
Doing my Naked and Afraid Bears All episode that will air, I guess, at the end of the season they're going to do it. It's kind of like behind-the-scenes stuff.
I'll watch yours just because I like you, but those Bear All episodes, I don't...
Well, you got to watch me because I'm on it.
Well, I will. But the Bears All episodes, those don't entertain me, really.
You want to watch this one because they told me in an email, listen, this is the time to be positive. You know, talk about your experience. Oh, we did. And then they started stirring it. And what did I think about my partner? What did I think about this? How did I react when this happened? So I don't know how they're going to edit it. I've been told, a producer told me, he says, listen, he goes, I don't want you to worry about this. Forget about what people are saying to you about how we really edit it to make you look bad. He goes, we're not. He goes, we are super interested in telling your story. We think it's going to be hugely impacting on people. It's unlike any story that we've had yet. And we want to tell it. So I'm like, all right, makes me feel a little bit better. So let me tell you, the Bears all I can tell you is it's going to be interesting.
All right, so we got to go to a break and hear some messages from our commercial sponsors. This is Armed Nevada Radio on 107.3 KNEWS.
All right, we're back, everybody. Ben, we've been putting this off for a while.
We have.
But we're going to get right into it. You were involved in a small minor vehicle collision. This was last December, I think, almost a year ago, right?
Yep.
And because you called me up and said, hey, can you come get me? My car is wrecked.
That'll be part of the story.
Okay. So you're in a vehicle wreck at Moana and Moana off ramp at 395 and go.
Here's a good preface to the story. There was a USAcarry.com article about how you interact with law enforcement while you're armed.
Mm-hmm.
And they give these guidelines. They say you should keep your firearm out of sight. All right. Maintain short and civil responses.
Okay.
Keep your hands visible at all times.
Good.
Know your rights.
Exactly.
And be transparent. And I've got issue with that. All right. So that's what that article said about interactions with law enforcement. So I'm involved in this collision, right?
Right.
It was December 12th last year. It was kind of snowy. It was really cold that night. My wife and I were going out to dinner together. No kids in the car, just the two of us. I was dressed very professionally. We were going on a quote-unquote date. Yes, I still take my wife on dates.
A what?
A date.
A date.
No kids. You're by yourself with your spouse.
You're speaking Swahili.
All right. And it's an excuse to get my wife all dressed up. And all right. So anyways, so we're driving, right? We're in her car, not one of my hot rods. And a guy cuts us off, slams on his brakes. You know, not a lot of room now because he came into my safe distance. I go to change lanes. I do. He starts changing lanes into me and pushes me into a parked car on the shoulder.
Okay.
The guy leaves. Doesn't stick around.
Of course.
Right.
But okay. Of course he does.
So like a good citizen, I call 911. Oh, and then there was a tow truck driver that was attending to the car parked on the side. He claims I hit him. Starts making a huge scene on the side of the road. Anyways, that's immaterial to this story. So I call 911. Highway patrol shows up along with REMSA and fire and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this trooper, and I'm not going to say her name, and I want to also preface the story with, I know a lot of state troopers, good people.
Outstanding
honest,
people, yeah.
Oath keepers, okay?
Yep.
I also know, though, that politically there's some issues within the highway patrol. You know, it's I think it's been infiltrated with some liberal influences, right?
Right.
Anyway, so a female trooper walks up to the car. I roll down the window. I've got my hands on the wheel. I turn on the inside light so she can see into the car. I'm trying, the radio's off. I'm trying to make it as straight up for her as possible. She walks up to the window and she says to me, how much have you had to drink tonight? That's the first thing she says to me. And I thought, all right, well, you know.
Let me ask you a question. How much contact did she have with you before she asked you that question?
None. Zero. We stayed in the car because that's the safest place when you're on the
so
side
of the
road.
So she walks up, first thing out of her mouth, how much you had to drink tonight?
Right. Yep.
No evaluation, doesn't.
Nothing.
No.
Nope.
And you hadn't been drinking? No. Odor of alcohol, nothing?
No. None whatsoever.
All right.
And so I kind of thought, well, maybe it's going to get smoother from here. It can't possibly get worse than this. And I said, no, I have not consumed any alcohol. And I left it at that. I was giving short answers. She goes, well, you must have been doing drugs tonight.
What?
Okay. No, not doing drugs. Never have.
Again, no evaluation.
Right. Then she asked
an assumption.
She asked about prescription drugs.
Oh, good Lord.
And I said, no prescription drugs. I said, no alcohol, drugs of any kind. Okay. I'm completely sober, completely lucid and in the moment. And she goes, okay, well, I need to see your driver's license and registration and proof of insurance. Okay, great. I said,
all right, reasonable.
I said, hands on the wheel, in the sight. I said, I'm going to reach for my license. It's in my front pocket. I haven't volunteered yet that I'm armed.
Okay.
And I said, I'm also going to reach into the glove box and get my registration and proof of insurance. So I do that. And as a courtesy, I tried to be transparent. I also pulled my concealed carry permit out of my wallet with my license. I put the permit under my license and handed it to her.
Which I suggest that people should do.
That way, I don't have to say gun. I don't have to say firearm. Her partner, also another female trooper, was on the other side by my wife.
Okay.
Because all I need to say is gun, and then her partner gets trigger happy or whatever. So I hand it to her. She looks at the license. She flips that, and she looks at the permit, and she goes, do you have it with you?
Well, she was alarmed.
And it seemed like it.
Okay.
And so I said, I have it with me. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm giving you my permit, I have it with me. She goes, is it loaded? And you know what? In that moment, I knew instantly this is not going to be a good interaction.
Right, because we all carry unloaded firearms.
Right. And I you know how badly I wanted to say to her, is yours? I didn't. I wanted to keep it professional and keep it all, not give her any excuse to do anything.
Right.
And I said, yes, it's loaded. It's on my left hip. It's at the 9 o'clock position. She goes, don't reach for it. I'm not. Hands are on the wheel.
That's a given.
And she goes, well, I'm going to have to take it from you.
The hell?
Well, so I said, I'm going to exercise my Fourth Amendment right against unlawful search and seizure. I've given you no probable cause, no reasonable suspicion that, my firearm is immaterial to this interaction. I'm not being threatening. I'm not being combative. I'm not being confrontational with you. And she goes, well, I needed to take it for, to run it.
Whoa.
And I said, no. And I went through that spiel again about the Fourth Amendment. And I said, I've given you no reasonable suspicion, reasonable suspicion, probable cause that it's been stolen. She goes, well, I need to take it then for officer safety. I said, once again, I went through the whole spiel with her again. And so she goes.
So now she's just making stuff up.
I was really frustrated at this point. And it was taking all of my self-control to not be completely rude with this lady.
Which I probably would have been at that point.
You know, You know me. If it comes down to it, I will be confrontational, but I try everything in my power to settle things.
Well, and that's a wise policy. I mean, it is.
And
because you don't want to escalate.
Well, and in that situation, I'm always going to be the loser.
Yeah, yeah, you're not
always.
Going to win.
I'm never going to win an argument or a confrontation with a cop.
No.
Unless somehow, by some miracle, some oath keeper shows up, right? That, you know, understands what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, that miracle never happened that night.
No. So, I wasn't sure what to do. Fortunately, I had my firearm in a holster that allowed it to be taken out as a whole. So I didn't have to just take my gun out of the holster and hand it to her. I made a mistake here. And in the moment, you know, after a car accident, you're frazzled. I really should have made her physically take it from me. I ended up giving it to her. And that's my mistake.
You know,
I should have made her get me out of the car and take it out of my waistband.
A couple things you should have done. One, and this is what I would tell any student. And you know, I was a cop, so it's I come from a different place. But you never should have given her the gun. Never should have. We should have done was, and I know it's all 2020 now.
Right.
She just said, listen, I'm standing my ground. I'm not being disrespectful, but I'm exercising my rights. I'm not going to give you your gun, and I want to see a supervisor.
Well, so that was the thing. I asked for a supervisor. And actually, I think we're coming up against a break.
We are. But we're going to continue with this.
I've got the second part of the story, and this is kind of where you come into play also.
Okay.
Let's go to a commercial break. This is Armed Nevada Radio, 107.3 KNU.
All right, so we're back, Armed Nevada Radio. You're listening to Ben and Gary on 107.3. And Ben, you're talking about
part two.
All right, the conclusion of this event.
So gun gets taken away. Mm-hmm. I hand it over. Then she asked me to get out of the car. And
okay, that's reasonable.
Well,
during an accident investigation,
that's fine. But she says I have to sit on the front of her cruiser between the cruiser and another cruiser and the ambulance. So for those that aren't aware, when you're doing traffic enforcement or accident investigation, that area between two cars or two emergency vehicles, that's a kill zone.
That's the crush zone. You never put anybody between two cars on a traffic stop.
Right, because if somebody rear ends that patrol car, I'm gone.
Oh.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
So I vocalized concerns about my safety about that, and that just made the interaction even worse. I'm in a dress shirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
The wind is blowing, cars are going by, I'm shaking, I'm freezing cold.
Right. You looked very dapper that night, by the way, too.
Thank you. I tried. I was trying to get some.
As did the lovely Mrs. Davis.
Well, we're dressed to impress.
That's right.
I'm freezing, I'm shaking. Why are you shaking? Because it's 28 degrees outside and you got me seated on the end of your patrol car.
It was cold that night.
And then she goes, well, you can sit in the back of my patrol car where it's warm.
The hell?
No. all right. So once again, for the second time, I believe at that point, I asked for a supervisor because I asked for my jacket and I wasn't provided it. Finally, another trooper went and got my jacket out of the back seat, at which point they searched the jacket, went through all the pockets in the jacket.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa, back up.
Yeah.
Say that they went.
So I asked for a jacket.
Right.
Finally, I found a trooper that would go get me my jacket out of the back seat of my car.
Oh,
They then search every single pocket of the jacket.
All right, let me ask you: Did they go into the jacket?
Yes.
They reached into the pockets.
Yes.
Or did they crush?
No, they reached in.
Okay, that is going beyond Terry versus Ohio, which is the stop and frisk.
So
that goes beyond.
Finally,
violation number 9.
And at this point, I asked for the supervisor. I was told the supervisor is aware of everything that's going on, and none was provided. So it wasn't until I was given permission to call you to come pick us up because our car had to be towed.
Given permission?
Well, I asked. I'm like, I'm going to use my phone if that's all right. I mean, at this point, I'm like, dude, they're, I don't know. I was,
wow.
It was a bad interaction. So anyways, I call you. The sergeant finally shows up right before you showed up,
mm-hmm.
and he starts talking to me, and then you showed up, and the tone of the whole stop or the whole accident scene changes as soon as you drop who you used to work for. Which I thought
to
was
the sergeant. Absolute, yeah, I told the sergeant who I was.
Absolute crap. Suddenly now I'm okay because I'm friends with a retired law enforcement officer.
Right.
I mean, right? You know, so anyways.
How should you be treated any better than at that point?
And
just because you know me.
So I asked for my gun back on a couple of occasions. I think you were there for a few of those requests.
Even I did.
And the sergeant basically throws this trooper under the bus, right? You were there for
yes.
That she's not qualified, she makes frequent mistakes, that this is just another, you know.
But he did. You're absolutely right. He did. He laid it out there and said, she's a D-bag, without using those words. However, when I asked, I said, hey, look, you know, and I told him, everything's good. Everything's cool for here. We're fine. You know, can the guy get his gun back? He said, well, no, we'll just leave it where it's at until we're ready to go.
Right.
I left it at that. I wasn't going to argue with him, but at that point, there was no reason they should not have given you your firearm.
Well, and here's the crappy thing. So he says that while she's on scene. As soon as she leaves, so she doesn't stay there until the tow truck shows up, which I thought was kind of funny if it was her scene, right?
So she left prior to the tow getting there?
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, that's right.
She left us with the sergeant.
She should have stayed.
So as soon as she leaves, the sergeant looks at me and goes, go get your gun out of the trunk of your car. Remember that?
Yes.
So, you know, the sergeant's not worried about me. I'm not a clear and present threat to him.
No.
You know, well, so anyways.
He did act reasonably, and I understand that, you know, he needs to at least, at face value,
back up his troopers
and support their actions.
I get that.
Yeah, I mean, anybody would. But that does not in any way lessen the gross constitutional violations that you were placed under.
So then to make matters worse, you know, I was issued a citation at the scene for failure to use due care. A 4-point ticket.
Which is I'm doing the up and down motion here with my
Well, so
fist.
Then, you know, I get involved in that whole process, which we could have a whole other show about how traffic violations are treated the same way as any other crime in this mm-hmm. state, which drives me nuts. So I pled it down to a seatbelt. It shouldn't have been anything.
I would argue that you did use due care.
The DA, well, I felt like I did because I felt like I avoided causing several other accidents that would have been much worse than what happened. So the DA, we pled it down to a seatbelt. But he looks at the accident investigation. He goes, this is the worst accident investigation I've ever seen in my time as a DA. Well, so basically, this trooper, I feel like, got totally sidelined based on the fact there was a gun on the scene and completely ignored all of the other responsibilities.
Well, I have since spoken to somebody that knows about this trooper.
Yeah.
And the overwhelming consensus is that she's completely useless.
Doesn't belong on the road.
Doesn't belong on the road. She has no business being in the position that she's in. She should not be in law enforcement. I'll tell you what. I don't know how this chick passed FTO, her FTO program.
She transferred in from a different part of DPS, from what I understand.
With all the complaints that she's had and with all of her personnel reviews, how is she still doing what she's doing?
All right, so aftermath. Let's talk about what I did after the fact.
Okay.
So I drafted a letter with the help of some legal-minded people that I know, alleging the different violations that she committed on the scene. So I detailed how I felt like my constitutional rights were violated between the search of the jacket and the seizure of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about how my personal safety was violated by being put on the front of the patrol car.
Correct.
And being denied my jacket several times on a cold night where they were all wearing jackets. I should have brought the letter in front of me. I alleged a couple of other things. So I ended up getting a registered letter. Well, here's the funny thing. I went to go drop the complaint off with the sergeant that was in charge of administrative affairs at North Command.
Okay.
He tells me that in 2 weeks I'll hear from somebody at OPR, which is their version of Internal Affairs, Office of Professional Responsibility.
Right.
Within an hour, I get a call from a lieutenant. 2 weeks.
Oh, snap.
And he's like, we're taking this very seriously. We're going to open a criminal investigation and an internal employment investigation. You'll get a registered letter stating that and blah, blah, blah.
If you put that into real world speak, what that's saying is please don't sue us.
Well, so anyways, I've heard through the grapevine, because you and I both know people at DPS,
yep,
that all the troopers in North Command had to go through armed citizen training,
yep,
how to deal with us. And
oh, I bet they hated that.
That there was some administrative action taken against sergeant and trooper. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I've heard.
Well, knowing how those things go, yeah, I would.
Well, the armed citizen training, I know for sure because somebody told me they had to go through it.
I would be willing to bet you. I'll bet you a paycheck that that's correct. There was some action taken against the sergeant because it was his responsibility to see to it that her actions were corrected on scene and that he made what was wrong right again.
And here's the funny thing. You remember when we were on the range,
mm-hmm,
on that armed guard? He'd heard about the story even before I told it.
Yeah.
And Reno PD had heard the story also.
Well, let me say this. The sergeant was very – I want to say some good things about the sergeant. He was very professional. He was very competent, and he was very empathetic and understanding. But you know what? He had to be a sergeant in the end, and I don't blame him for that. I'm sorry if he got a letter in his – he kind of got thrust into a situation that – I don't know. It was a rough situation for him. But, you know, real quick, because we're going to come up against a break here. You know, people, listen, if you get stopped –
well, maybe next segment we should kind of debrief on what, if any,
yeah,
of our listeners.
Yeah, let's
stopped.
Do that. Let's do that because this is important. It's important that they know. And then we're going to end it with a really cool item. So
turning a knife, save a life.
Yeah, knife registration coming up right here. All right, you listen to Ben and Gary, Armed Nevada Radio. We're going to be back in a few. KNews 107.3 FM. And we are back. Ben and Gary, Armed Nevada Radio.
The fastest hour all week, I swear.
It is. So we're going to wrap up. I got some advice for people at the end, but let's close this one out.
Well, yeah. So I think I've expressed where I think I made a mistake in this interaction. But how do we go from here? Where do our listeners, what do they take away from this story so that they're, I don't want to say protecting themselves, but
well,
they're
no, that's
aware.
Exactly what they're doing. They're protecting themselves. You have to. Listen, number one, when you're in the right, if you don't be afraid to stand up for your rights. Listen, any traffic stop is not the point to argue. Be courteous. Be professional. Be cooperative. But do not – listen, don't let people tramp all over your rights. Any law enforcement officer does not have the lawful or legal authority to remove a lawfully concealed firearm from your person. Once you tell him you have it and you are complying with their commands, they do not because it's an unlawful seizure. It's a violation of your constitutional rights. And right now, DPS is feeling the sting of the actions of that trooper because of what she did. If the officer or the trooper or the sheriff pushes the issue, ask for a supervisor. You know, but listen, you do not have to give up your rights. Don't stomp your feet and throw a fit and get aggressive because that – listen, I've been on the receiving end of that. And I'll tell you, I did take a guy's gun from him twice. Yeah. Once was from a Vagos gang member who – listen, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a documented gang member, you should be a prohibited possessor.
Well, you are now in the state of Nevada. That was one of the SB 175 changes.
Well, I took this guy's gun from him. I gave it back to him piece by piece too. I even disassembled the magazine. I go, here, put this all in your saddlebag. You can put it together when you leave, jackass. I actually saw that guy later on in Virginia City. He walked up to me. I'm sitting at a bench with my daughter. Kind of a side story. He walks up and he's looking at me and he goes, hey, I know you. And I reached up onto my shirt and I said, yeah, you do, which is why I would suggest you keep walking.
Walk away.
Yep. Walk away. Nothing to see here. So, you know what? Be cooperative. Be courteous. Courtesy begets courtesy. Respect begets respect. But you know what? Stand up for your rights.
Yeah. You want to know something awkward?
What's that?
I ran into the, not the main trooper, but her partner at Chipotle a couple of weeks ago.
Did you?
She was in line right behind us. I turn around. I know she recognized me because it was like, you know, when somebody locks onto you. And I smiled and I turned around. And like, so they sat next to us at the table, and you know, next to where we were.
Dude, icy?
A little bit.
Wow. It was, I wonder if she got burned.
Well, she was on scene. I don't know.
I can tell you. I can tell you in Phoenix, if that had happened with my former agency with Phoenix PD, I'll tell you what, that other trooper, they hold those officers in Phoenix to the highest possible standards of honor and integrity. And I'll tell you what, if that happened in Phoenix and that officer had not stepped in.
I hope she was held accountable.
She would have been held accountable. That's how they did it. So be professional, be courteous, and be respectful. Don't be afraid to stand up for your
rights. Hey, before we talk about knives, did you see Waco? The report on Waco?
No.
The biker shootout?
Oh, no, I didn't see the report on
that. Well, so less than, you know, they talked about it was this huge bust. It was this huge gunfight. It was an epic display of the violence on the part of the bikers.
Which all started over dispute over a parking spot.
Well, it turns out that, you know, and I'll pull up the article, but hardly any of those guys were arrested for anything other than disturbing the peace.
What about the two guys that killed the two guys? Because there were two dead, right?
Well, but remember how they said it was a huge shootout?
Yeah.
They didn't hardly find any guns.
Well, two guys got killed.
Well,
there'd be guns somewhere.
It sounds like the heart of the issue was the cops' overreaction rather than...
Well, yeah, the way it was written up was that it was another... what was that big Hell's Angel shootout in Vegas? Not in Vegas, in Laughlin. Remember that a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then we had the one here in Sparks, right at the Nugget between the Vagos and... who other little dirtbags were?
Was it Hell's Angels in Vagos?
No, who's the black and white goofballs?
Mongols?
Oh, the Mongols. Burnouts.
Well, so here's...
I'm sure if there's any Mongols listening right now, I'm probably going to get followed.
So
don't do it.
Originally, it stated it was going to be one of the biggest criminal prosecutions in state history.
Mm-hmm.
Yet now, authorities have said hardly anything about the confrontation involving motorcycle enthusiasts and police. After police and the county DA, Abel Reyna, initially described those taken into custody as criminals, the Associated Press reviewed public safety databases and found no convictions for more than two-thirds of those arrested. Yet the mass arrested morphed into a left stranded in jail for months on explicable $1 million. Oh, so I guess they're, you know, drawing issue with that some of them were being held on $1 million bond.
Well, if it's $1 million bond, it's got to be the homicide charge.
Well, but... Less than two-thirds, like all of them were being held on that, and then less than two-thirds were ever charged with anything. So I don't know, kind of interesting. Like,
yeah,
I just bring it
strange.
Up as it was held as this big old gun, you know. I know some people, like they always do, they run out and we need gun control because these evil bikers had guns. Well, it turns out that starting to look like this wasn't quite what the cops
right. Well, it was a mix of one percenters or outlaw bikers and, you know, regular... You know, Harley riders with a that have no criminal connections at all. You know, they're not outlaw bikers, one percenters. It's just mix. It's a whole kind of a mixed bag, a mixed gaggle of different
affiliations. It seems like the situation was being mischaracterized because there was guns on scene.
Oh, I'm sure it was. You know, the press, they latched onto that like a bulldog on a bowl of oatmeal,
as they do with everything.
Exactly, and they ran with it, and then, you know, come to find out, like a lot of stories, it really wasn't a lot of substance to it.
So what's the knife story?
Well, the knife story is, I wish I had it up. I'm going to paraphrase it. A woman, she's a nut. I mean, she is like seriously got some serious mental health issues. I'm not just making that up. She, you know, if you look at her picture, like, she's like Charles Manson crazy.
Like real documented
issues? Like real documented issues. Lived in a trailer, and she had... 10,000, something like that, plus blades, machetes, knives, swords, tomahawks, you name
Whoa.
It. She, this house, if you, I saw the video, her trailer was full of blades. Well, probation department shows up along with local law enforcement. They're going to hook her up. They've got a warrant for her, felony warrant for her arrest for probation violation.
Okay.
All right. They've got the warrant for arrest. They go to knock on the door. She's looking through the window. Retreats back into the house.
Oh.
All right. Boom. They kick the door.
Okay.
In they go. She's standing there in the hallway with a friggin' sword in her hand.
Whoa.
Advancing on these officers. They're telling her, drop the sword, drop the sword. She could have got shot. And you know what? It would have been a righteous shoot.
Oh, for sure.
No argument
have
about that.
Have you seen
that.
What damage swords can do?
Oh, yeah. I would rather get shot than cut. Believe me. If I had a choice, shoot me. Don't stab me.
If you haven't eaten recently and you feel... I mean, you Google search...
Oh, yeah. Google search knife wound.
Oh, my
Google
gosh.
Google search knife wound. Google search. Google search knife wound.
I think...
Go to images.
You know what? Hollywood has... I think done the self-defense community a disservice because everybody feels like knife wounds aren't that big a deal.
Oh, they are.
Like, you know what? Anytime we hear a concealed carrier that shoots somebody wielding a knife, why did they do that? They didn't have to do that.
Massive nerve damage.
If you've ever seen a true, like, knife attack, holy crap. They are...
Yeah, they're bad.
They're brutal.
So she confronts these officers with a sword in her hand. They had less than lethal, so they beanbag her,
okay.
Right, with a 12-gauge beanbag.
Okay.
They beanbag her not once, but three times. Has no effect
on
her. Was
the lady on PCP or something?
No, she's just
psychotic.
Possessed. So they should have called a priest. I mean, that's how bad it was. So they beanbag her, no effect. She drops the sword, runs for the bedroom, comes back out. Now she's got another blade in her hand. Again, they beanbag her. She finally drops the knife, turns to go get another one, and at that point, they tasered her. And she folds up like a lawn chair. And I don't know if you saw her booking photo, but she brought the crazy. Let me tell you, I'm going to find it. I'm going to put it up on our Facebook page because she was straight up off the reservation crazy.
So she had tons of blades in her
trailer.
Tons
of blades. So they're seizing these thousands upon thousands of blades from her trailer. And I got to tell you, I really have to hand it on one hand to the police officers that were there on scene that they didn't shoot her. You know, less than lethal, absolutely appropriate response. Taser, appropriate response. I commend their restraint.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, if they'd have smoked this woman, if they'd have put a warhead in her forehead, it would have been a righteous shoot.
Yeah.
And you know what? And the press would have gotten a hold of that and ran away with it.
Oh, I'm sure.
About how they shot this poor old crazy woman. I don't know. It was a close call. I commend their restraint. I really do.
You know what? We need to have a whole show. Maybe not a whole show. Maybe a couple of segments. We need to have a discussion about knives. And knife rights, too, because...
Knife rights.
Well, no, you laugh, but have you looked at the knife statutes? Because there's no state preemption.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Clark County has different knife laws than Washoe County does. And I wouldn't be surprised if every single county in here had a different statute.
Well, had she succumbed to a background check for those knives, it never would have happened.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, we're armed Nevada radio. We can talk about things other than guns.
Knives, baseball bat with a big nail driven through the end of it. I mean,
you know, whatever
you want to carry.
Whatever it takes.
Sure.
Hey, it's my right to bear arms, right?
It is. Who defines arms? It's whatever you want to carry.
So, I think we should talk about knife rights. And the interesting thing is we've talked about earlier how I'm going to call them anti-self-defense groups in Great Britain, now that they've defeated private gun ownership, they're going after private knife ownership.
I know. It's retarded. Oh, before I forget, I wanted to tell you about this one. We had a troll on our Facebook page,
it was a
direct result because I trolled the Coalition Against Gun Violence page.
Yeah.
I posted up an ad on their page for Armed Nevada Radio.
I saw you
listen
that.
To Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3. Oh, I got banned.
Yes.
I posted that, and I posted up a picture of me on the lounge chair
at
the AR-15. I got banned.
Nice work.
Right after that happened, we get a troll on our page, right? He goes, I listened to your show for 5 minutes. My ears were bleeding.
Means we're doing things right.
Yeah, I said that's a direct result of what happens when you listen to truth and logic. Your liberal brain explodes and leaks out of your ears. So thank God for our trolls. We love them as much as we love our loyal listeners.
Well, the fastest hour.
It is. That's it.
It's over.
Sean's doing the whole finger circle thing in the air. So we're going to get out of here. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be back next week. Ben and Gary, KNews, Armed Nevada Radio, 107.3. Ben, say goodbye.
All right. Have a good week.
We're out of here.
Stay
Bye.
Around.